Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group. How you doing, Cam? What's going on?
Did you bad boys hijack the afternoon time slot? I love it.
Yeah, we did. Just for 4 days, though. Damon Bruce in New York right now, and we're filling in for him.
Is so, Damon doing some holiday shopping like I just started doing? I'm 2 weeks out, and I already got my first Christmas present for my wife. And it helped that she gave me a Google Doc with about five things to get my button gear.
There you go.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. I've got the double whammy of a birthday on December 13th and then Christmas on the 25th. It's a killer.
My son's is the 19th.
All right, that's 6 days apart.
Yeah.
Not really a coincidence. Anyway.
I don't think did I get birthday wishes from you guys on November 26th? I don't think so.
Yeah.
My card's in the mail.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
That is bad.
Cam's our guy.
Let me ask you about the San Francisco 49ers coming off a nice win. How do you as a observer who's watched the 49ers for a long time, how do you try to figure out what's a meaningful late season game and what might not be a meaningful late season game?
I would say a meaningful late season game is one that reaffirms your beliefs in your coach. That he knows what he's doing, and if he's able to churn out a bunch of yards like Shanahan did against the Broncos and get George Kittle wide open for 210 yards by halftime, that reaffirms my belief in the offense. The defense made some strides, but they did so with some younger guys, and that's what this time of year is about, is you're evaluating players for 2019. So they sat down a couple of their veteran guys that know what they can do, and they needed to see some younger players get in there. And a couple of them shined, and that's what you're looking for. And they've got three more games to work on this and try to, you know, last year at this time, they were building momentum with a new quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. And no matter how well and how many yards Nick Mullins throws for, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo's team next year. So it's a different situation and circumstance where I think you're trying to evaluate the talent everywhere on the field, and you don't need that quarterback position solidified. Although I guess Mullins can solidify his case for a number two spot behind Garoppolo.
Cam, my partner and I go back and forth because I'm a guy that cares about recognition and records and awards. And George Kittle was 5 yards away from breaking Shannon Sharpe's record, and somehow it got lost, and he didn't get one target in the second half. And I know Shanny apologized to him twice, Kittle said, but are you flabbergasted like I am the fact that he doesn't own that record?
No, I could care less. And he did get targeted once. They had a few other plays in there, and the Broncos adjusted coverage, and they got to Mullins more. But I don't know what Matt said, but I'm like, what are you going to do with that record? I mean, I don't think it's on Shannon Sharpe's mantle. It's a record. Would have been nice, but the kid went off for 210 and a half. That alone is damn impressive. And, okay, fine, he gets 215 yards, and he can stake claim to that, but
throw him 5 yards. But what do you, 5 yard comeback.
I'm with Cam. But what do you do with it?
What do you do with it?
He earned it. Well, he was almost. He earned it.
What do you mean?
Okay, Cam.
210 yards. He's fine.
Okay, Cam. This is what concerns me about it. The communication. The coaches should have known. Somebody should have said something to somebody. Hey.
No, they knew. They all knew. And Shanahan tried to dial up a couple plays for him. And listen. When you won two games, your top priority is to win a game rather than get George Kittle a record.
All right.
13th game of the year, man. And that game came down to a one-score game. They didn't have time to flirt around with getting him a record. And, yes, it would have been nice. But, I mean, what at the end of the day, okay, what is it? It's a record that he can try to break the next week.
Yeah, it's not even a trophy. It's not even player of the week.
It lives forever until somebody breaks it.
Where does it live?
In the NFL record book.
But where does it live? Where can you find it on the internet anywhere?
I don't know about all that, but.
All right. Hey, Cam, go ahead.
This actually could help him because people are talking more about the fact that he's 4 or 5 yards away from a record. So he's still in that news cycle where the Pro Bowl voting's ending on Thursday, so if people want to go give George Kittle some recognition, go vote for him.
There you go. He better get that nod.
You know, you get two tight ends per conference, and Zach Ertz is going to get it for one in the NFC. Get Kittle in there for the second spot.
Why not? All right. Why not? Hey, I want you to, and we're joined by Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group. He covers the San Francisco 49ers. I want you to listen to this video and then maybe tell us what Kyle Shanahan meant when he was talking to Richard Sherman.
Two away from free safety.
What does that mean? Two away from free safety.
Yeah. Okay. Because I wrote something on this. It'll be online tomorrow morning where they mic'd up Shanahan for the game. And that was one of the dialogue that went back and forth. The 2 years away from, or the two away from free safety, does that mean two games away from letting Richard Sherman try out at free safety? Or are we talking about 2 years away because Sherman's under contract and he said last week that he wants to transition to free safety like other great cornerbacks have done? I think it's going to be two games. I think they might just stick him out there just to see how he's doing because, you know, they don't have many healthy safeties right now. They're playing some guys that, you know, that weren't playing safety earlier in the year. They're on their eighth different safety combination. So if Sherman wants to give it a go with two games to go, you're going against the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky. Might be fun to watch, add late season intrigue, but I also want to see Richard Sherman return a punt. He usually returned a punt once a year with the Seahawks.
Ah.
And I think it was in 2015, he returned one about 60 yards on a trick play. And I actually asked Sherman about this last week as he was coming off the podium. And he said he wanted to do it in Seattle because he was back in Seattle. But once rookie Richie James fumbled a punt return, Sherman knew that was off the table. It wasn't going to be time to play around as a punt returner. So I said pencil it in for the season finale back when he's down home in L.A., and maybe that's a more late-season entry we can do.
Cam, after what we saw from Kirk Cousins last night on Monday Night Football, do you think the Niners dodged a bullet by not signing him for $84
million? I don't think I would look at it that way because Kyle Shanahan would use him the way he knows how to use him. The offensive coordinator for the Vikings, John DeFilippo, who used to be at the Raiders, good guy, he got fired today because he didn't use Kirk Cousins in the offense right. Whether that's Cousins' fault or the Lions' fault or whatever, that's backfired, and your coordinator is going to take the heat for it when you invest $84 million, not just $84 million, $84 million guaranteed for 3 years. And the Niners would have ponied up and paid that, maybe paid more than that to make sure that he came and reunited with Shanahan. Had Garoppolo not shown up on their doorstep on Halloween and went 5-0 in December. They did. I still think they made the right decision going with Jimmy. And if Jimmy backfires in 2 years, I bet you Kirk Cousins will be available.
Interesting. Cam, let me finish up this way. Do you think we're done seeing Beathard? And do you think Mullins has essentially supplanted him as the backup?
I do. Especially after last week's game. He just made some really good plays. He plays composed. He finds the open receiver. There was a late throw, the late game throw, where he went through his progressions and found Dante Pettis for a pivotal third down conversion, and that's something you really need to do. He has the traits Shanahan wants in a quarterback. So does Beathard, but Beathard's been in just some real tough situations. Comes away where everybody can only talk about how tough he is because there's no wins to talk about, whereas Mullins now is 2-3, and Beathard was 0-5 after Garoppolo. So, you know, Shanahan said last week that they're dead even going into next offseason as the potential backup to Garoppolo. But I think right now it's Mullins' job to lose these last three games. And if CJ gets in, I don't think there'll be a problem with it because let's see what he can do again later in the season. But right now Mullins is rolling, and let's see if he can play spoiler against the Seahawks and Bears.
Cam Inman, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
All right, good talking to you as always, guys. Thanks.
All right, Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group.
Darn it.
What?
I was going to ask him about defensive end for the Seattle Seahawks, Clark, that went in on Richard Sherman saying that the Sherman era in Seattle is over and he's got his own problems in San Francisco he needs to worry about. Frank Clark, I forgot to ask him. But
what do you want to know?
It's going to be a battle.
Just ask me. What do I think about it?
Do you think that'll put a pep in the Niner step?
No.
Oh, Richard's going to be on fire this Sunday.
What will that mean?
Oh, he'll just be reckless, abandoned, flying around. Blitz! Trying to get old pretty boy Russ. Little Russ, as we call him.
okay.
Dude, if I heard you say that about me and we used to work together, oh, I got you. Oh, man.
I say it to you and we do work together.
That's different. I can't come for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we are getting ready to do our holiday gift grab. So here's what we do. When you hear this sounder.
Ho, ho, ho.
Be caller number 2, 888-957-9570. Caller number 2, and then Gianna will pick a prize, right?
Yes, I'm staring at a basket full of envelopes. I cannot wait to pick a prize for the next winner.
And the last thing was, yeah, that sounder doesn't count.
No, doesn't count. Don't call now.
It'll be the next time you hear that.
Yeah.
And don't call early. You call early, you're out. You call early, you're so out, it's not even funny. But listen, because when you hear it, you want to be caller number 2. All right, Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Gianna Franco, Rick Barry coming up in 20 minutes. We're filling in for Damon Bruce on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Can somebody explain to me what hip tightness is? Have you ever had hip tightness?
Not yet.
Gianna?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the hips don't lie.
Hip tightness.
That's for an old person.
No, it's for Andre Iguodala.
Who we said the over-under on 5 shots last night, and he didn't play.
Nope. He's hip supposed tightness. To play tomorrow, though.
Swing your hips tight.
Also, we got to pay attention to what the Raptors are going to do with Kawhi Leonard. They play the Clippers tonight.
It's a joke.
And if Kawhi Leonard plays tonight, he's not going to play tomorrow. And if he doesn't play tonight, that means he'll play tomorrow because he's been sitting out one of the 2 back-to-back games. I don't think we know for sure, but we're monitoring the situation.
Keep my eye on it.
We're monitoring the situation.
So.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right. You guys should know what that means. I just explained it to you 7-8 minutes ago. 510 says, Clay's the best two-way player ever. Settle.
Where'd you learn that term, Steiny?
What term?
Two-way player. You went at it with me. A lot of people text me during that segment, and now I hear you say it a lot.
I'm reading a text.
No, but I hear you tell JD and other people, two-way player.
Yeah, I don't.
Offense and defense.
Right. It's called being a player.
Right.
When I was growing up,
they
said, Steiny, you are a player. That meant I played both ends of the floor. You don't have to say.
What if they said you're one-dimensional?
They would never say that about me.
No, but some people.
Depends what that dimension is.
Score.
I'll take it. Somebody on the 925 saying hip tightness it stinks, and it has to do with hip flexors and some of your quads.
He just had his best game.
Well, maybe that's why he's banged
up. Saturday, Sunday, 2 days off. Gianna, Nick Nolte, 48 hours.
So I'm just going to hand it to you right now.
I'm taking the reins here?
Yes.
All right.
I'm
so
out.
Do we have a winner yet? Do we have caller number 2?
I think we do. But real quick, by the way, I said settle. Yes, Michael Jordan, 650. I'm with you.
By the way, the hip flexors, I was just kind of looking up online, they allow you to move your leg or knee up towards your torso, as well as to bend your torso forward at the hip. So, I mean, that seems like if that's in pain, that would be an issue, especially when you're on the court and playing so active.
True.
So,
just coming off
a little painful.
Yeah. Get better, Andre.
Yeah.
If you're driving around listening, get to Christmas shopping.
All right.
Then pop in.
Do we take Alex or does, hey, Alex, what's going on? Did we
How
talk?
How you doing, guys and gals?
Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's up? So you won.
Thank you so much. That's fantastic.
Now, let's wait to see what you get, but you did win. Now, Gianna, why am I talking?
Congratulations, Alex. You won a pair of tickets to see Kiss on their End of the Road World Tour at Oracle Arena in Oakland on Monday, September 16th, 2019. So you got a lot of time to plan for this one. Get your tickets at livenation.com, and I believe you also qualify for tickets for the Warriors-Lakers game on Christmas Day. So,
Kiss.
You could win again, Alex. You still got Kiss tickets, though, in the meantime. Very cool. Congrats.
You know what? I grew up listening to Kiss, and they're one of my favorite bands when I was a kid. So that would be awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
I'm a little street cred, but my best friend.
Stay on hold, Alex.
Kiss.
Stay on hold.
Gianna, Gene Simmons, Peter Paul, Ace Frehley.
Look at you.
My best friend, Paul. He was white. I grew up, and he
Black guys didn't like Kiss?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know any, but yeah.
I got to tell you.
A little street cred there, but that was my best friend, Paul Montemayor.
I think.
And he had the poster. He was a big Kiss fan.
I got to tell you, I think my first slow dance might have been to Beth.
You know, Beth, that's a good
song.
That's a great
song. By who?
Kiss.
I thought they were hard rock. I thought they were hard rock.
76-ish, I think. 76-ish?
No, I thought they were hard rock.
I think it might have been a little later.
Was it? I have to look it up.
I thought they were hard rock.
12
rock.
Years old, I was.
Well, that was like one of their ballads, you know, every big rock
band
had a ballad.
Now, if I know Elena, she's going to have some Beth for us at some point.
Okay.
But you're more
Beth,
of a...
I hear you calling.
I didn't need to specify what color he was, nationality he was.
Rock and roll all night.
No, that was Bay City Rollers, I thought.
Rock and roll all night? Doesn't Kiss sing that?
Rock and roll all night.
I'm pretty sure that was
Kiss.
What am I?
I'm thinking of Saturday.
Pretty sure. Naive.
Or Dylan, your guy.
No, frankly. Yeah, this like this just
a
take
song.
A listen for a second. It really is nice. It's pretty. It's a pretty song.
But I can't come home right now. Me and the boys are
thinking a little bit about Nori Frank right now.
Wow.
Holy Name High School, circa 1979. The priests and nuns making sure you didn't get too close. Watching where the hands are.
Do they still tour?
Dude, we just gave away
tickets. What do you think they're
Help
from?
Me out now.
Oh, Beth, what can I do?
Southwest. Want to get away?
You know what?
This is a Southwest moment for Onku. Want to get away?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Wow. Did I ask that? Are we live?
No, we're live. We're live and local.
I'm going to catch some heat.
What's Detroit Rocks? Oh, that's I Want to Rock and Roll All Night. That's good. Good.
Gianna,
tune.
Don't
good
tell
tune.
Anybody. I asked Damon.
I don't need to say anything. You just said it. You said it on the radio, friend.
Wow.
All right. We got Rick Barry coming up in 5 minutes. And right now, we got a
ad-lib.
Little Kiss trivia trivia contest. Trying to think, what other songs did Kiss have?
Kiss?
Well, I'm surprised I remembered the names. That was
Paul Stanley. Did you say Paul Stanley?
I said Peter Paul.
Well, there's Peter Paul and Mary.
I did it wrong.
Group.
I said I got Gene Simmons right. Ace Frehley.
Okay.
He had the star on the eye and the rest of the gang. And I said Peter Paul, and I was.
Which was Paul Stanley.
Exactly. Got it wrong.
Did they have a fourth member?
Yeah.
They've had quite a few. I mean, there's a couple people who've been in and out of that band as well. Like Shout It Out Loud, that was a biggie. Detroit Rock City, Rock and Roll All Night, Beth.
They don't have bands like that anymore, Gianna. They kind of played out. You know,
it's different now.
I mean, punk rock.
Bands that wear makeup?
Yeah.
It's different.
Gig is up.
Now.
You know what I mean?
I think there's room for a new Kiss. Definitely.
And
I liked him. Didn't the one dude spit blood and stuff when he was on
No,
on
that
stage?
Was Ozzy Osbourne.
Are you
he
sure?
Bit the what was that, a bird? Or
not sure.
Who bit the... It was real.
You know what? Was it? Or was that...
You think it was... No, I heard it was real.
Legend?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Peter Criss was the drummer, according to the 707. Of course, that might not be right.
You just said Pete Stanley.
He bit
Paul
a bat's
Stanley.
Head off.
Paul Stanley.
Ozzy Osbourne bit the head of a bat.
You know what? Rabies.
You know what?
That's
I don't
real.
Think so.
Hey.
I don't think so.
We've never heard.
I'm not buying it.
You scared?
Why would
Who
I be scared?
I would leave the concert.
Peter Criss. Peter Criss. Paul Stanley, but you know what? You go see Ozzy Osbourne to see stuff like that.
I don't know if he's quite like that anymore. I think he canceled his last show.
I got to do something about the people that support you in the business we're in. You're on air, Gianna, and then they call you like, what's up? You should be listening to me. My friend Frank, called
me. Okay, what's
me.
Frank's schedule? What's his work schedule?
He just flew to Alaska.
Okay.
But I guess he didn't know I was filling in for Damon, but I'm kind of irritated.
There's a lot.
Gene Simmons does a blood death trick on
blood.
Stage. It's all over YouTube. Just Google it.
Yeah, it's not like Ozzy Osbourne, though. That was a bat.
He did something else,
too.
Oh,
dude,
stage.
You can't top that.
Ozzy Osbourne. I think he did bite a bird.
That's what I've heard. I need to see it.
Blood theatrics.
What's he done for you lately?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Come on, yeah.
Anyway, Ozzy Osbourne. Don't forget he was originally with Black Sabbath.
True.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot, Gianna. You're a big, you're a metalhead.
I'm not a metalhead. I'm married to a musician.
But through osmosis, you have got so much knowledge.
A lot was coming out of her. A lot of knowledge.
More than I need. No, I like Kiss. Black Sabbath was cool. Ozzy Osbourne. I like Metallica's one of my top five bands. So
gotcha. All right, we were talking about the Warriors and who they could afford to lose, and the name that's come up a lot is Draymond Green, and
you understand why.
You know what? I think it's been about half and half. There's been about half the people on the text line and half the callers say they'd be in trouble without Draymond. And the other half said they'd be fine.
And it's no slight to Dre. You're just fascinated with offense right now and the way that the game is. It's about offense, Donnie. I feel like, you know, if Dre wasn't around, they could still get it done.
Let's take a listen. You want to hear this? Or should we do it after Rick? We'll take a listen to that sound after Rick Barry. You know what? I want to ask Rick.
I'm excited to talk
I want
to
ask Rick. Remember last time we called?
He checked me.
Yeah, he did check me. I remember that.
But you liked it. Look at
why is everybody coming down Kirk Cousins' road? He was fine last night.
Steiny.
20 for 33?
It's about his season.
One touchdown, no picks?
I wasn't going to do this, but I'll
say. It's a Legion of Boom.
He's 0-7 on Monday night. 0-5 this year against a team
if
with a winning record.
If the season were to end today, the Vikings are in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to let you handle this.
What? I mean.
Oh, Kirk Cousins.
I don't disagree with Steiny right now.
They're in the playoffs.
What?
If the season were to end today, they're 6-6-1. What's wrong with that?
They paid him $300 million.
No, they didn't. They paid him $84 million.
You know what I'm doing. I'm inflating the number. That's the going rate.
That's the great. I lost my train of thought there.
People mad we didn't play the sound. Of what?
Of what I'll play the sound. Right. Don't worry. 5-1-0. I don't want to play it right before Rick Barry, though, because Rick's going to call in at any moment, or we're going to get Rick at any moment. Iguodala, by the way, will play tomorrow. He will play tomorrow.
Oh, he's feeling better.
Yeah.
All right.
And we'll wait to see on Kawhi Leonard plays or not.
So I'm going to stop.
Don't stop. You're on the radio.
The game means nothing if he doesn't play. So we got to wait to see.
Did the first game mean nothing?
No, it meant a lot. It was a phenomenal game, and Dre didn't even play. Now Dre's back. I'm just tired of we're going to sit him.
The Warriors sit guys more than anybody.
That's different.
Why?
They're older guys, seasoned veteran. Richie Rich, Oakland rapper, had a great CD, seasoned veteran. That's what Iggy is.
I don't get what you're saying here.
I mean, Leonard can play a back-to-back.
Not yet.
The greats would do it.
You don't know that.
Got Golden State. Hey, I'm playing. You're going to have to just duct tape and glue. I'm playing that one. What happened to that? That's the cloth I'm from.
No, you're not.
Bird?
No, you're not. You're not from that cloth.
What cloth am I from?
I don't know what cloth you're from.
I'm telling you what cloth I'm from. Union City.
In the NBA, guys don't play through injuries. Or should they?
When did it change? I know what changed. Social media.
What does that have
Everybody's
to do?
Everybody's afraid to give. They don't want to sacrifice their body for the betterment of the team. Hey, you're not feeling good? Hey, just sit this one out. Yeah, we'll still pay you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
that. Back in my day, can you walk and breathe? Get out there. It's the Warriors.
You know what?
Send a message.
With all due respect.
I got you.
With all due respect, I may ask our next guest about this rather than you.
I'm sick of it. Yeah, the baby
and
of athletes.
He only played
athlete.
9 games last year. Why would you want to take a chance? The season's so long.
Isn't it his job to play 82?
That's right, but we got Rick.
Right. Rick will tell you.
Rick Barry joining us, former Golden State Warrior, member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Rick, we're just talking about Kawhi Leonard and whether he's going to play tonight against the Clippers or tomorrow against the Warriors. And my partner wants to know when it changed when guys wouldn't just kind of strap it on with an injury and go play.
Well, when they started paying the kind of money that they're paying, back when they were paying me $12,000, $15,000 or $20,000, they weren't concerned about it so much. But when you're paying somebody, you know, $15, $20 million for a season of basketball, or even up to $30 and $40 million, you're going to probably be a little bit more concerned about their health and try to take care of them because it's guaranteed money. So that's where it all changed. The thing I don't understand is how these guys get rest. I mean, they don't play the kind of minutes. I mean, I one season I played 47 minutes a game. Most of the time I was over 40 minutes a game. And I wanted to be on the court. I mean, I wanted to play. I like to beat teams and beat them badly, but I didn't like blowouts so much because that means I wasn't going to get to play as much because we were blowing them out. So I don't understand the mentality behind that, but I certainly know why they're trying to keep everybody fresh and healthy. And I mean, if a guy averages 36 minutes a game now, that's a lot of time. That's
right.
Three quarters of a game. So I always joke about it. I say, well, if you're only playing 36 minutes, maybe you should only get three quarters of your salary.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go over well with the players union. You know, a lot of this, though, I think, and tell me if you agree, it has to do with the teams themselves. I mean, you have to beg Draymond not to play, but the Warriors make him not play anyway.
Yeah, well, as I say, they have a big investment. You know, there's so much money on the line for this, you know, trying to win a championship. And so you want to keep your guys fresh and healthy. And so that's why they're doing it. They're trying to protect their investment. And you can't really blame them for that. I know that if I were there, I would not like it if I didn't play as much. But if we were winning and winning championships, I certainly would accept it. And the thing about it is that it will more than likely probably prolong your career because you're not going to have to beat your body up as much.
Rick, we were out at the stadium yesterday. We saw, at the arena, we saw you there, and Steph Curry put on a show. And my late mother told me, son, always live in the moment. And right now, Rick, I am drunk off of what Steph Curry is doing. And I was telling my partner here, when did it change? The three ball era. Is Steph Curry the inventor? Can we give him credit for what we're seeing of the three ball revolution?
Well, I certainly think he's had a major impact on it. I mean, what he's doing is almost beyond comprehension. I mean, somebody told me a stat from a couple seasons ago that from 28 feet, he shot 48%. I mean, some guys can't shoot 48% from 5 feet. And he's really remarkable. In fact, I just was at the Chamber of Commerce big luncheon that they had in conjunction with the Warriors Community Foundation here in San Francisco. And I went up to him just to say hello because we've gotten to know each other and just tell him. I said, the great game last night, really. And I said, I can't even express you how much I love watching you play basketball. You are a great player, and you make it so much fun to watch and the way that the team plays. And he certainly has a major impact on that. And then, of course, you know, Clay is right there with him. Clay can do things. You know, KD, I mean, the stuff that he does. And what would they make, 19 threes last night, something like that? Yeah, it's changed the dynamic of the game. But that's what makes the Warriors so incredible and such a great team is because they play unselfishly. They play a brand of basketball that's so much fun to watch. It's not all the one-on-one stuff. In fact, if anything, they get in trouble when they do too much of that. And they make it fun. They use one another. They're not afraid to pass it to the guy that's hot. I mean, just indicative by the fact that when somebody's going good, he gets the ball. I mean, you know, Clay gets 37 and a quarter. You know, how many times you've seen, you know, KD, any of the three guys getting 20-something points in the quarter. It's just so much fun to watch the way that these guys play the game of basketball. And when Boogie Cousins comes back, I had a chance to talk to him yesterday as well. If he's anything close to what he was before he got injured last year, he brings a dynamic that the Warriors have never had. If you remember last night when their center, I'm not going to, you know, demean him and stuff, but he wound up taking the three-pointer that was an air ball. You know, Boogie can make that shot. I mean, I see Boogie. I was talking to my son, Scooter, about that because he was at the game with me. And I said, you know, wow. I mean, he reminds us of what Sabonis could do when he was playing for the Trailblazers, except for the fact that, you know, he'd be a lot more mobile than Sabonis, who was at the end of his career. But Sabonis, you know, you could rebound, throw it down, and come down as a trailer and be able to shoot the three. Plus, on offense, you can then take him out to the three-point line, and the center has to go out with him because he can shoot that shot and make it. So just think about what that does for opening up the lane for guys to be able to get to the basket when you're pulling the center out to the three-point line. I mean, they become so indefensible when he comes back. It's going to be so much fun to see how that plays itself out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how much time he spends at the top of the circle and how much time he spends in the low block.
Well, the beauty of it is he can do any of it.
True.
He can bring it up the floor. He can shoot the three. He can shoot the mid-range. He can be at the top of the key feeding in the post. He can be down on the low block and score. He can block some shots and rebound. he's a heck of a basketball player. And so he brings a dimension to the team at the center position that we haven't seen here. I mean, in decades, they haven't had a center like this. And so I'm hoping that he's healthy and he's willing to fit in, which I can't understand why he wouldn't want to fit in. And I think he'll have more fun, just like when KD came. If you remember, I may, talk to you guys about it. I said, I think KD will become a better basketball player coming to the Warriors. He'll get easier shots than he's ever had. He'll have more fun playing the game, and he's going to become a better player. Because I said, look back and see how many games when he was with Oklahoma City or up in Seattle that he ever had games where he had 7 and 8 assists in the game.
Probably weren't very many.
I don't know if there weren't very many, if it ever happened at all. And, then he's helping with the weak side defense and blocking shots. And, it's crazy what these guys are capable of doing. You're going to have, you have three guys now who you have to guard at the three-point line, who can also put it on the floor and shoot the mid-range shot, who can go to the basket and finish, and also are great free throw shooters. How do you defend that? The answer is you can't.
Yeah, I'm with you. If the Warriors are healthy, I don't see anybody touching him. Speaking of Durant, hey Rick, I want you to just listen to this for 20 seconds. It's what Durant said on a podcast of Chris Haynes.
I know for a fact that we'll all get our jerseys retired. We'll probably all get statues here in front of the Chase Center. Mm-hmm. We'll be Bay Area legends forever. Meaning that people will recognize this team and his run forever in this area.
That was Kevin Durant, but that statue's got to come after yours, doesn't it, Rick?
I have no control over what the people do, but I think he's right. I mean, certainly they'll be deserving of that. What they've accomplished is remarkable. No team has ever, had the run that they've had here over the last 4 years with the win-loss record and the championships, and it should have been 4 in a row. They basically gave away the championship in Game 7 that year, and give credit to Cleveland for taking advantage of that opportunity. But it's been a remarkable run. And here's the thing, I'm just hoping that somebody doesn't decide that they want to go and do something else for whatever reason. Why would you not want to be a part of something so special, knowing that you have so many great players on your team and you can be multiple champions and just do something so out of the ordinary and be a part of that? And why do you want to screw that up? So I'm hoping they don't screw it up from a very selfish standpoint, because I truly love watching this team play when they play Warriors-style basketball. When they're doing that, they are a joy to behold.
That's what I kind of want to follow up on, Rick. You have always been extremely complimentary of the Warriors and how they're playing. And a lot of guys who played with you haven't been. They just haven't kind of given the Warriors the respect that they might deserve. Why do you think some of your peers have not warmed up to the Warriors like you have?
I don't know. I mean, they play the game the way it should be played. They're a really good defensive team. I've always said you don't have to be the best defensive team to win a championship, but you have to be one of the better teams, and they have been. And I think 1 year they might have even been the best team. I mean, they're playing it the right way. They're playing unselfishly. How in the world could you not appreciate and respect what it is that this team is accomplishing and the greatness of the players? I mean, in their own way. I mean, Draymond in his own way is Draymond's an anomaly. He's one of those guys that I say, Steph's an anomaly. KD's an anomaly. And by that, I mean, these guys are playing their positions in a manner in which that's never been played before. There hasn't been another player that I can remember like Draymond and what he brings to the table. And there hasn't been anybody like Steph playing the point guard position the way he does, with the amazing things that he does, handling the ball, the shooting, and all the other stuff. The way he, in passing, he's even cut down his turnovers, which is one of his weaknesses early on. And he's got a kick out of the fact that his mom said $100 every time you make a turnover. It was kind of funny. And so, and the same thing with KD. There's never been a guy his size play the position and play the way he plays. And so, and Boogie's another guy. He's playing the center position like people don't play. And so this is such an incredible team. For anybody to not give them the credit that they deserve for what they've accomplished is, I think, missing the point of what basketball is all about. I really truly believe that. These guys are amazing. I love watching them play. They deserve that all the time, and they should have some statues and what have you. I've got somebody that does an incredible thing that I had brought to Rick Welts before. Maybe they'll do it now. It was going to be a commemorative thing for the championship team that we had, the first one here. And maybe they'll do a whole bunch of these other cool, incredible bronze plaques that this artist that I know does. So that would be a cool thing to have at the new arena. And, you know, certainly some statues or whatever. Why not? These guys deserve to have that. They're special, extremely special. And here's the thing that's best about it. They're all good people.
Mm.
These are not troublemaker guys. These are good character people. They do a lot of wonderful things away from the game. They give back. That's what I respect that probably even more than their great talent as players.
Wow, Rick, I agree with you. I don't get to talk to you much, and you mentioned KD and Draymond. So I want to ask you this, just take you back here a little. When that tiff was happening between the two, did you think that shook the foundation of what the Warriors were trying to accomplish this season?
I don't think it will, or that it did. You know, here's what it is. I say what it is. It was Draymond beat Draymond. You have to know your personnel, your teammates and everything, and everybody knows Draymond. It's kind of like me. I mean, I was a little crazy when I played, and you know, and I'd say some things, and it was just a reaction to what was happening on the court. But once the game was over, and I never carried it off the court of doing it, and you know, Clifford Ray knew that about me, and he talked to the guys about it. I mean, I had a great bark, but I didn't have any bite whatsoever. And that's Draymond being Draymond. So if you really understand him, you don't get it. It wasn't a personal type of thing. It was just Draymond being Draymond. And away from the game and being on the court and doing stuff, he's not the same person. And I'm sure that the guys understand that and realize it. I think Steph said that when he talked about it. And I think these guys are too intelligent and have too much pride and are too appreciative of what they've been able to accomplish thus far to allow something of that insignificant of a situation, a momentary thing, derail their goal of being three-peat champions.
Rick, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. I hope you're doing well. It was great seeing you out at Oracle last night.
Yeah, quick plug.
Yeah,
quick.
What do you got going?
GoGYV, GoGYV.com/RBarry. GoGYV.com/RBarry. Just watch the video. Make up your own mind about it. I got off a prescription drug for this for my knee. It's awesome product. Money-back guarantee. Check it out and see if you want to have it and use it. And then you should try to get back to me again here in a not-too-distant future. I'm going to have something where we'll be able to go ahead and give a link to all of your listeners to be able to go and get themselves a $2,000 VIP Travel Savers card for nothing that will save them a lot of money.
Terrific. Thanks as always, Rick. Appreciate it.
All right. And
thank you.
I'll talk to you before. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everyone. God bless.
Same to you, Rick. Rick Barry, one of the greats.
Legend.
He is a legend.
I think you may have said he was like Draymond. You know, he'll speak his mind.
Well, there are a couple good questions on the text line about Rick Barry and whether he'd fit in or not with this Golden State Warriors team. I'm gonna answer the way I...
And you got some Rick Barry in you. I think a teammate here would say that.
888-957-9570. Steinmetz and Guru filling in for Damon Bruce. Gianna here, as always, and it's 95.7 The Game.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, am I taking over? Am I bringing us back? Welcome back. Signing Guru with, hanging out with for the Damon Bruce Show. I'm Gianna. Look at that. I've never got to do that before, Stan.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes I butchered it a lot. I butcher that a lot.
All right. Well,
you did great.
I got you covered.
Thank you.
Got some fun stories on a breakdown for you guys right before we hit the top of the hour here at 5 o'clock. We are brought to you by the California Academy of Sciences, where it's 'tis the season of snow and science. Outdoor skating rink in Golden Gate Park. You can learn all about snow flurries. And of course, as Damon and I love, you can go see the penguins. They've got a lot of them there. You guys ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Number one.
All right, we're going to start off with the little Niners. Obviously, Niners with a big win over the Broncos on Sunday. So good day for Kyle Shanahan, and he was feeling it. He was mic'd up during the game, and there was some really funny sound bites. My favorite so far is I kind of love all the code words. Listen to this.
Let's go far right nasty. Big fly.
Turbo.
Zelda. 14 Diablo.
X-Dragon.
Charger.
Chocolate door.
Chocolate door.
Now he says chocolate door at the end, but I question that. Did he mean this?
The chocolate Thor.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he said. The terminology is incredible, what they use, Donnie. How about just go right, left, 15, turn around, come back?
Because the other way's more efficient.
Huh?
I guarantee you, Greg Papa would know exactly the place.
Gun run.
What they're talking
gun run.
About.
Yeah, Pop
chocolate door.
Thor.
No, but he said Thor.
He said chocolate door, but... Yeah.
Chocolate door.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't...
Chocolate door.
I'm going to pretend, though, he said chocolate Thor, just for you.
Yeah, favor. I love you.
Well, you know...
I feel the love.
Do you know that for the first year, I thought... And that was part of our intro. I thought he was saying... The chocolate four, as in the Warriors four, like the chocolate four. And then only recently, he's like, no, chocolate Thor.
And what's another
and
fun
like,
fact?
Thor?
Had to break it down. Okay.
Another fun fact that's out of the open. It's I like meat on my bone.
Yeah.
Which I'm uncomfortable with, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
All right. A couple more sound bites from him being mic'd up. Richard Sherman commenting to Shanahan. This is kind of odd. Let me know what you guys think of this.
Two away from free safety.
Two away from free safety. What does that mean?
He's getting older, long in the tooth, and he's going to... I heard Papa talk to the great Rob Woodson about it, Papa Bonte. He'll be moving to free safety.
When? In next 2 years year. Or 2 days? Or 2 games?
I didn't understand that.
By the way, they have 3 games
yeah,
left.
That I don't understand. Maybe he thought he had two.
Maybe he's going to play safety the last game of the
year.
Stani.
I see you working. That's what it is.
I don't know
what
it
is. The last game of the season.
Who knows what he... Who knows?
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, cryptic.
Isn't it amazing how we get that information? How they're mic'd up?
I think it's cool. I think it's kind of fun to go behind the scenes and hear happens on the sidelines and stuff.
I'd like to be one to edit all this stuff you hear that you can't play.
No, you couldn't do that job, though.
Why? What happened?
Because you got to keep everything... You can't be going out into the street saying, hey, you wouldn't believe what I edited out of Steve Kerr. Let me tell you what he said to Draymond Green behind closed doors.
I turned in my resignation.
I couldn't do it either. Yeah. I'd be telling people everything that I wasn't supposed to tell them.
It's a tough job. All right. Well, speaking of the Warriors.
Number two.
Steph Curry expressing doubts as to whether humans have actually landed on the moon. The story's been everywhere today. And now NASA wants to convince the Golden State Warriors superstar otherwise. So Curry was questioned the moon landing on the Vince Carter and Kent Bazemore's Winging It podcast, which also included teammate Andre Iguodala. Here's exactly what he said.
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
Nope. They're going to come get us. I don't think so.
I'm conspiracy.
Sorry, I don't start the conspiracy.
They ain't been on the moon.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. Stanley, you got to do research on Stanley Kubrick.
Big back then. Bro. Man, you talking about we took something to the moon? I don't think so.
Well, obviously, that comment has led to some responses for those who are tied to the space program like NASA.
Sure.
They've extended an invite to Curry's way, saying there's lots of evidence NASA landed 12 American astronauts on the moon between 1969 and 1972. They'd love for Mr. Curry to tour the lunar lab at our Johnson Space Center in Houston, perhaps the next time the Warriors are in town to play the Rockets. And Bay's tweeting out, quote, the plan is working.
I think the league would like to see Curry go to the moon. Take one of those. See what I'm saying? Staying behind the league. That was really convoluted. Do you think that's what he meant?
I mean, it sounded like they were joking about it a little bit.
But after Kyrie Irving caught some serious heat, you would think Mr. Perfect, who I'll call Steph, wouldn't have went there, Stani.
I got to believe he's going to be asked about that again.
Absolutely.
And that's usually what happens.
I don't want to sound like a hater. Is there anybody in this world without a podcast?
Do you have one?
No, but you two do.
Well, you got a radio show, so you don't really need a podcast.
Well, they'll probably say you got that, but you get what I'm saying? Everybody has a podcast.
Who was the third person on that? It was Bazemore, Curry, and
Andre Iguodala was there as well. Vince Carter, yeah.
So it was four of them.
So they were kind of joking about it. I don't know. I think Curry's going to get a lot of slack for making that comment. He's such a role model to a lot of kids. And I mean, I wonder what Buzz Aldrin would think of this right now, because I believe he was one of the first two people to walk on the moon, as was Armstrong.
There you go. I got it.
Interesting stuff there.
You're shocked.
Not shocked.
Tell me. Listen,
as somebody who
this
will just
be
say
in the Steph
sometimes
movie.
Stupid stuff to get a reaction.
Okay.
He might have just been doing I think he was
But
just
they
doing
were
that.
They were sounding like they were having some real conversation about it. Like, hey, go read this.
What's that movie, Capricorn 1, where it was staged?
Oh,
this is a long
Capricorn,
time ago.
I don't think I saw that.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, well, you think about
it. But I know it's one, but it ain't Capricorn 1.
Really?
Well, hey.
All I know is Apollo 11 was the rocket that took them there.
I would never go up in a rocket.
Hell no. I'll keep my feet on Earth.
No. I like it right here.
Me
How
too.
About skydive? Would you ever skydive?
No, I wouldn't do any of that. Why do people do, yeah, when is not the earth is not fun enough?
I wouldn't skydive either.
And there's been accidents. People, that's been their last activity.
Yes, there was a 102-year-old woman today in the news who is the oldest woman who skydived.
Oh my gosh.
The video was out today. All right, here we go.
Well, hold on.
Number 3.
Go ahead, Stein.
That wasn't important.
That would always is important.
When I imagine myself jumping out of an airplane, I get that feeling in my stomach. Even,
oh,
just,
even just
the butterfly,
that?
Right?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Like the roller coaster.
Yeah,
when you,
I don't like
oh,
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm good. Right
Me
here.
Too.
All right. Oakland and the Raiders, maybe not so good. The city of Oakland filed a lawsuit challenging the relocation of the Raiders from Oakland to Las Vegas. It was filed in federal court today. Now, the long-awaited suit does not ask for the team to remain in Oakland, but it does seek monetary damages for the quote-unquote illegal move. And defendants include the NFL and each of the 32 teams, basically saying that the city says they colluded together as an illegal cartel. Demanded that cities such as Oakland bankroll new stadiums with public funds or else be shut out of the marketplace with team relocations. So this could also lead to the possibility that the Raiders might not be able to play here next season.
I've changed Uh-oh. My mind on this.
A resident of Oakland.
At first, I didn't really care if they stayed or went in what year. I do hope they play here next year. I do. Just for the
fans. That's big of you.
It's not big. It's just the way I feel.
It is only fair to the fans. I agree with you. See, they should play here one more year.
They shouldn't have to go. Raider fans shouldn't have to go to the Christmas Eve game not knowing if that's the last game or not. They should at least know there's one more year.
And the that's reality is that's what's going to be the scenario.
I
want them to play there because Oakland need. There's nothing like an Oakland Raider game and the camaraderie that happens in that parking lot on 66th Ave. So I don't want that to end anytime soon, so I'm all for the town.
And where would they go? San Diego? Vegas?
Right across the bridge.
Santa Clara?
I think they would go to San Antonio for a year.
San Antonio?
I don't think they want to go to San Diego because the L.A. Chargers in L.A. wouldn't like that.
But doesn't that look ghetto when you're not in your league? You look bad. It looks bad. Hey, it's the San Antonio Raiders. You know
As opposed
I mean?
To what? The San Diego Raiders?
Being in the
Raiders?
City where you're supposed to be.
Oh.
It's like you're homeless.
Yeah, they are.
Pretty kinda. Much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, Number yeah. 4.
All right. This one's kind of for you, Guru. What was likely the final meeting of their NBA careers, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade discussed the special moment on the court at Staples Center in Los Angeles. James told Wade it was either here or the Garden in reference to which venues were meaningful enough to play host to their final game against each other. So obviously a lot of people ran with that and were wondering, what does he mean by that? At some point, you know, it needed to be further explained. Here's what it means. LeBron James said in reference to his here or the Garden comment that no other venue could have held this final duel between LeBron and Wade other than these two venues. So not that he was thinking of signing with the Knicks, everyone. That wasn't going to happen.
We are sheep. The American public is sheep, and people are really falling for this. These two dudes didn't get along to the point to where they were on the same team, and if it was such a love fest, they would still be on the same team, but they went their separate ways. LeBron left Dwayne Wade. So now you want to change jerseys. It's not the last game of the year, and I'm supposed to get melancholy because this is the last time you two play? Please miss me, Steiny. And it's just sickening that Dwayne Wade's team lost, and he's out there. They're about to cry because he's not playing with LeBron. And they're 11-16, the Heat are. Go in your locker room and figure out why you blew the game. Nobody cares about this love fest between you and Bron. Because if it was that real, you would still be on the same team.
LeBron played with Dwayne Wade in Miami. And then Wade
got
joined LeBron in Cleveland. So how could he not like him?
Why and what happened Wade, to his tenure in Cleveland
why
if they were best buddies?
Why did he go in the first place? What's your point? That they don't like each other?
No, that nobody cares.
Except them.
Yeah.
No, and the fans.
What was this? Was this the 82nd game that I missed, Donnie?
You ever see Julius Erving's back in the day? Every
I'm a
single
YouTube dad.
His last year, every single venue he went to, they put on a show for him. It was you want to talk about pathetic. That
I did it for
pathetic.
Magic and Bird. They give you a gift, right?
Bird didn't do it. Magic didn't do it. They too much class.
I didn't like it, G.
I didn't really care.
All right. Well, let's squeeze in this last five before five.
Number five.
Charles Barkley, just another night at the office, apparently, during the NBA on TNT Thursday broadcast. Barkley mocked sideline reporter Rosalind Gold on Wooting. We remember her. We miss Roz. For wearing an outfit that he claims was from TJ Maxx. Okay, listen to this.
Come on, Rod. Hey, listen. You know Ross got that stuff from TJ Maxx. Be careful.
Oh, no. That's Archbishop Malloy's finest.
I love you. Know I love her, but that is, you know, that's a TJ Maxx outfit.
Oh, that's an awesome
So, obviously, you know, Ernie Johnson and Kenny Smith were doing everything they could to ignore his comment. Roz clapping back on Twitter. She says, I know Charles Barkley ain't talking. He shop at Big and Bigger. He got a free donut with the suit he got on.
Wow.
And a lot of donut emojis, blah, 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 blah. So nicely done, Roz. And what's wrong with TJ Maxx?
I was just going
to bargains.
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Nothing. I
mean, but we do know that she doesn't shop.
Yeah, she's elegant.
Probably not.
Yeah, she's very elegant.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Nevertheless.
She probably had on Gucci.
Listen, she's been doing sidelines probably for 3 or 4 years now.
She left the Bay. She blew up.
I've never seen her wear the same thing twice.
No, and she's known for being a little different. Yeah. You know, she's known for being a little eccentric with what she wears. She has her own style and her own thing, which is good.
Yeah, but
I love
when you
it.
Don't
it's
double up on outfits, you're in a different.
Well, it's
I know what Snotty's saying.
I'll bet she may have a deal with a clothier.
With a dressmaker or something,
yes.
Or like a designer.